going to take a little extra time tonight and read several verses. I'm going to have about a 5-minute Bible study. Hold it. That's at first. And then I'm going to have you close your Bibles after the special. I'll be just talking to you. I started a series of lessons last Wednesday night on how Christians should treat each other. I talked last Wednesday night on the subject of forbearance. Tonight I'm teaching on meekness and our treatment of each other. Open your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. I'll take about 5 or 6 minutes to teach a brief introduction and then start talking after the special. Numbers 12 and verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were on the face of the earth. Now wait a minute. Our concept of meekness is not what God's concept of meekness is. Our concept of meekness is somebody has a bland personality, never blows his stack, never loses his temper. But I have news for you. Moses was a hothead. Before this was written here, Moses got so mad he killed a man. That's pretty mad. That's about as bad as you can do to somebody. And so he killed a man, lost his temper and killed a man. And then, by the way, the reason that Moses didn't get to go into the Promised Land was he got mad. He actually got mad at Southerners. And God judged him for it. He said, Whoa, ye rebels. Check it in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But he lost his temper. And that's why he lost his ticket to the Holy Land, because he lost his temper. Now here's the meekest man in all the world. And by the way, in between those times, he was pretty hot-headed too. He and God had a lot of fusses. He had problems with a lot of people. So meekness is not what we think it is and what we usually attribute it to being. I'm going to give you tonight what meekness is. Now turn, please, if you would, to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And verse 26. Psalm 22 and verse 26. The meek shall eat. Let's go on to the next passage now. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. Now turn to Psalm 25 and verse 9. The meek will be guided in judgment. Will he guide in judgment? And the meek will he teach his way. Look at Psalm 37, verse 11. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That sounds like something you read in Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Turn to Psalm 76 and verse 9. Psalm 76 and verse 9. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. Turn to Psalm 147 and verse 6. Psalm 147 and verse number 6. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Look at Psalm 149 and verse 4. For the Lord will taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now I want you to share with me another passage quickly. I want you to look, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse number 22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So a part of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. The third beatitude is a promised blessing on the meek. But there's no scripture in the Bible that quite shows what meekness is like Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, that's not what you think it means. But don't forget that verse now. After a while, we discuss what meekness is. That when somebody is overtaken in a fault, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I want you to close your Bibles. I want you to set up straight. I want nobody taking notes. I want everybody to listen carefully. I want to talk to you about another characteristic of our treatment toward each other. Last week, forbearance, and tonight, meekness. I want to read, without your turning to it, one passage. And I find it in Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. All, get this now, and please do not take notes. I want you to follow me with your mind carefully. Showing all meekness toward all men. Now, all men would include the president of the First National Bank. All men would include a fellow sleeping on Lower Wacker Drive tonight, a street person. All men would include the President of the United States. All men would include the pauper and the rescue mission man. All men, the Bible said, were to show meekness toward all men. I was going to teach this all along. This is not a lesson prepared for the educators who are here tonight. But I put this title at the top of the the title is for the educators. The rest of it I was going to teach anyway. I'm calling this discussion tonight the purpose of education. Let me explain what I mean. The purpose of education is to qualify men to be able to choose to be meek. Let me say it again. The purpose of education is to qualify people so they may choose to be meek. Now, education does not... I'm talking about proper education now. Proper education does not make you meek, but it gives you the tools with which to become meek. You have a choice. By the way, let me say this. A person who is... chooses to be ignorant cannot be meek. And you'll find out in a few minutes what I'm talking about, as soon as I found out what I'm talking about. I'm going to give some synonyms for blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let me paraphrase it. Blessed are the equal ones. Blessed are the equal ones. That's what it means. The word meek could be almost translated homogenized. Back when I was a boy, you didn't have homogenized milk. The cream always rose to the top, and you had to stir it up in order for you to get the milk all be alike. Now you have homogenized milk where the top of it is just like the bottom of it, and it's homogenized. Now, blessed are the homogenized ones. Let me paraphrase it again. Blessed are those who look down on no one and up to no one. That's what it means. That is as near as I can tell you the definition of meekness. Blessed are those who look down on no one and up to no one. My mother used to say to me, we'd be in a little shack of a house with a wood stove and a kerosene lamp and paper stuffed in the windows to keep the howling winter winds out. My mother used to say to me, son, you're as good as anybody, but you're better than nobody. Get that now. You're good as anybody, you're better than nobody. The person here tonight who has a PhD is no better than a person that's illiterate. Blessed are the equal ones. Let me paraphrase it again. Blessed are they who consider themselves better than nobody and consider themselves worse than nobody. Let me paraphrase it again. Blessed are they who can meet anyone on his own level. Blessed are they who can, the person to whom they're talking, can meet them on their own level. Or, paraphrase it again. Blessed are those who do not think themselves above or beneath another person. Blessed are the equal ones. Let me show you what education does. Look at my hands right here. Let's do it this way. Here is a man who is uneducated, or a young person uneducated. Now, the purpose of education is to go somewhere so he can be qualified. In fact, I define this purpose of education. Purpose of education is when a person learns how to feel at home and comfortable in any given proper situation. Now, here's a fellow goes off to college, and what he's supposed to do is enlarge his scope of acceptance. I don't mean compromise, I don't mean sin, but enlarge his scope of acceptance. For example, a person goes to college, and suppose that he goes to the Possum Trot Baptist Church in Mule Shoe, Arkansas. And they wing ditty some little ditty, wing, they whang some little ditties, and he goes off to college. And he learns that there are better songs than that. And so he learns Blessed Assurance. And then his sophomore year, he learns Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And then he learns All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Now, what education is supposed to do musically to him is have him enlarge his scope of acceptance of proper music. But here's what happens. Our young people leave Possum Trot Baptist Church in Mule Shoe, Arkansas, and instead of enlarging it, they just change it. And now they look down on the church back home. And I can tell you churches back home where preachers are maligned by young people because they've gone to a college for a couple of 3 years. That's not education, folks. If education doesn't tie you to your church back home, it's not education. It's a farce. It's a sham. It's a fraud. Now, the same thing is true in being able to deal with people. Education is not to allow you to increase the level of society of people with whom you can deal. Education is supposed to teach you so you can deal with anybody and look at them on an equal level. Now, let's go further. Meekness is an inward attitude. Now, as opposed to gentleness. Gentleness is the treatment of somebody. Meekness is the heart. I feel I'm no better than you, so I treat you gently. So gentleness is the action caused or created by meekness. You can be gentle without being meek, but you can't be meek without being gentle. So it's an inward attitude as opposed to gentleness. So meekness is an attitude that enables you to fit in any proper situation. Now, it's a strong quality. It's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength. Which it's not like an elevator. Here's a person wants to go talk to somebody on the 14th floor. So he gets on the elevator and pushes that button, and the force of that elevator and the power of it takes him to the 14th floor. Now there's somebody in the basement he needs to talk to. He pushes that button, and the power and temperance of that elevator takes him down to the basement. Now the purpose of education is to make you meek, and meekness is when you look down on nobody in the basement and up to nobody on the 14th floor. Now, it is a power that pulls you up to any situation or down to any situation that's proper. It is letting yourself to be equal, or lifting yourself to be equal, and lowering yourself to be equal.
Now, a person that cannot stay on the level with somebody in lower social strata is a snob. And most colleges train you to be snobs. Now, we're not here to teach you music to take the place of your church back home. We're here to give you a new appreciation for music you've not enjoyed before. The average person, okay, take for example literature. You go to a college and you learn maybe English literature or something, and you learn Beowulf and Lady of the Lake, and I always wish you'd jumped in the lake. That's just not my cup of tea, but I'm the lower level. The truth is, what we do is we'll take the what we call better literature and substitute it. If you learn Shakespeare, it wouldn't hurt you to still like Andy Griffin. Or Barney Fife is better, I think. But the honest, simple truth is, education has taken us away from meekness. Meekness is education is enabling you to be able to look straight in the eye to anybody of any level. Those who only can enjoy the upper society, whatever that is, are snobs. Those that only can enjoy the lower society are lazy. Now, personally, I feel more at home down in the basement than on the 14th floor. But thank God, I don't feel like the folks on the 14th floor are any better than I am. I went to the White House when Mr. Carter was president, and I didn't feel intimidated. I've known numbers of governors well, and I don't feel intimidated with them. Judges, mayors, governors, presidents, I don't feel intimidated. Neither do I feel any better than the fellow that sells pencils outside the White House gate. Now you listen to me. If you cannot learn to be with a certain strata, then don't you learn. You just stay right where you are, and don't you let your education make you a snob. I'll tell you what. All across America, our singing groups go. And people say, here's what we like about your singing groups. Other groups can sing, and yours can sing too. But when your young ladies get through eating, they get up and wash the dishes or help with the dishes. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to raise a bunch of people. Look, I know people that go off to college and go back home and think Dad and Mom are not very smart. Because Dad hangs his gerunds and splits his infinitives and murders the English language. But the truth is, Dad reared you. And Dad worked and paid for you to go through school. And Dad put a roof on your head. And Dad put food in your belly. And Dad put clothes on your back. And your dad is as good as you are. And you're no better than him because you know Beowulf. Blessed are the equal ones. Let me say very carefully now. You cannot be totally, well, let's put it this way. The more knowledge you acquire, the more qualified you are to be meek. Because the more knowledge you acquire, the more people there are to whom you can look square in the eye. You can only be as meek as you are high. I want to illustrate. If I chose the person in this room tonight who's the meekest person in this room, I can't tell you his name because I'm too humble. But if I chose the meekest person in this room tonight, it'd be Wendell Evans. There are two others would choose him also. Now, the reason is Wendell Evans has a PhD. But Wendell Evans can talk to old Zeb out on the farm in West Virginia and make old Zeb feel like he's a hero. You heard me tell this story before. I was down in Tallahassee, Florida, preaching. There's a fellow's a farmer down there, and they couldn't win him. He hated preachers, hated church, wouldn't go to church at all. His wife asked me if I'd come try to win him to the Lord. I said, yes. She said, could you come and have lunch? I won't tell him you're coming. He'll be in the field. He'll come home from the field. And we'll have lunch. So I went over there with the pastor, sat down at the table, and in came old Zeb, Zeke, or somebody from the field. I mean, just ignorant. I mean, I have did, and I done, and I have saw, and I seen, and all that thing that makes you snobs upset. And we sat down. He said, "Who are you?" I said, I'm Brother Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond. He said, "What you doing here?" I said, "I'm eating." "What you doing here?" "I'm eating too." Well, I said, "Well, let's get with it then." So his plate was here, and he put his mouth right down next to the plate. I mean, right down next to the plate. He got his thumb here. We had black eyed peas, as everybody does who's right with God. And he got his fork like that, and he got his knife, his fork like that. Didn't hold his fork like you're supposed to hold it, like that. Like you really are supposed to hold it. And he put his fork down there, and he started pushing that peas on that fork. And the guy had real rhythm. And he just way down there. His wife shook her head. She was embarrassed because Dr. Hiles was there, pastor of the First Baptist Church, Hamlin, Indiana. And so I said, "Pass the biscuits, please." And they passed the biscuits. I said, "Pass the gravy." I poured the gravy in the plate. I took a biscuit, tore it apart like that, swiped it across that plate like that, and got me a bite of biscuits. Of course, you folks from certain institutions wouldn't like that. That's why you're not building any churches either. That's why you're better at drama than you are preaching. That's why you'd rather have an opera than to have a revival. And then I got my thumb working, and I didn't get my fork, got my spoon. Of course, spoon will hold peas better than forks will. So I got my spoon. After I'd sopped that gravy, you know, like that, and I undid my tie like that, you know, and I got my spoon, and he stopped and looked at me. He said, "Man, you really get with it, don't you?" Oh, by the way, he got saved before I left. See. Now, you call that meekness, you see. Now, what does it mean? It means that the next day I eat with some people in high society, I don't sop my gravy. Oh, shut up. There's less meekness right over here than anywhere in the whole church. It means, and that's what I want. I want you to be able to go to a tea and hold the cup on the saucer on your knee and balance that cup in that saucer without spilling any tea. And I want you to be able to sit on a log down to the Mississippi River and fish for carp with a black man down there on the banks. Now, I don't want you to enjoy the tea like you enjoy fishing, but I want you to be able to do so. Wendell Evans is a farm boy. When Wendell Evans went to Bleep University, when he went there, while the other students were doing like this, Wendell Evans did like this. He never lost the farm boy. He increased his ability to reach people. That's what it's all about. That's the purpose of it all, in case you'd like to know it. He increased his ability to reach people. And that's meekness. Meekness is Jesus lowering to talk to a fallen woman at a well about water, living water, right after he talked to a teacher of the law about regeneration at midnight. Meekness is Bob Jones Sr. coming to our house years ago when our daughter Becky was 3 years old. She comes toddling up with golden hair, and Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the great Bob Jones Sr., one of the great philosophers ever lived, one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. He walked in the house and looked at Becky and said, "Well, hello there.
what's your name? He didn't shake my hand yet. He dropped to his knees and picked little Becky up. And she said, my name is Becky. He said, do you like candy? And she said, yes, I do. I shook her head up and down. And he reached in his pocket and pulled out a little package of assorted flavor lifesavers, just about that size. You've seen them. This happens to be marijuana, but extra strength Tylenol, that's what this is. But about that size. He gave it to Becky. Becky fell in love with him, literally. From that moment on, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was her favorite preacher. 10 years later, I was preaching at Bob Jones University. Dr. Bob was still living, and he was up in years. He was senile. I ate up in the old dining hall up where the VIPs ate up some stairs, about like upstairs like this. And Dr. Bob Sr. was there. He came in. He said, Brother Jack, Dr. Howells, I heard your sermon on the radio. He was in the hospital, just came out to eat. Heard your sermon on the radio. He said, felt like I ought to hit the mourner's bench. He said, how's Becky? How's Becky? He met her 10 years ago, one time. One time. 10 years ago. He's senile, but he remembered that little girl. Saw her one time. She was 3. I said, Dr. Bob, you remember Becky? Oh, yeah, I remember Becky. Golden hair. Sure. I said, Dr. Bob, this coming Saturday, Becky will be 13 years old. Oh, he said, I can't believe she's 13. A teenager? That little old? Yeah. I said, Dr. Bob, you're her favorite preacher. Tears streamed down his old battle-scarred cheeks. I came back home after preaching there for the week. We were sitting at the breakfast table on Saturday morning. And the doorbell rang. I went to the door and they said, it's a package for Becky Hiles, 13 years old that day. I said, Becky, it's for you. Becky rose to the door. She gets the package. She comes back shouting, hey, Daddy, it's from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. It's from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. It was a birthday gift from Dr. Bob Jones Sr. It was a carton of assorted flavor lifesavers. When Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was dying, he asked for me to come. I called and talked to him on the phone and told him when I was going to be there. And Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, could you bring Becky with you? And I brought Becky down. Fundamentalism has enough snobs. We have enough better than you ours. We need some people can go to the ghettos I'm talking about Cabrini Green, can go there and not feel and say, but for the grace of God, that's what I'd be. If God hadn't put me in a good Christian home, they didn't get to go to the college I went to. They didn't get to go to the church I went to. And I'm no better than they are. And by cracker, you're not any better than they are. Or if you go to the White House, by the way, that's a place you can go where you'll be better than they are. What is meekness? It's Dr. John Rice preaching with me in Milford, Ohio, morning service. I stayed and signed a bunch of Bibles. We couldn't find Dr. Rice. It's time to go eat. Pastor came and said, where's Dr. Rice? I said, I don't know. You haven't seen him? No. And we got worried about him. He's getting up in years. We got worried about him. Where's Dr. Rice? Where is Dr. Rice? And we looked for him for 30 minutes. And finally, a block down the road, we saw him playing hopscotch on a sidewalk with some little kids. That night, I went down to go preach with him. He was in the lobby of the Ramada Inn, quoting Shakespeare to an English teacher who was in the lobby. That's what I'm talking about, folks. That's what I'm talking about. I was, Lindsay Terry met me at the airport for the funeral Monday and drove me to Levon Drive Baptist Church, where I had a part in the funeral of my good friend Francis Nall, F.P. Nall, chairman of my deacons. I was in Texas. And Lindsay Terry was talking about the broadcast we used to have here. Let's go soul winning. He mentioned the fact that I forgot the name of the fellow that was our agent. You remember his name? Man. Yeah, Doug Maines. And I said, Lindsay, I want to tell you a story about Doug Maines. I said, one time he came to our church. He sat right back there. He and his wife, wealthy people. She had on a mink coat. And she looked over to him and said, honey, said, right across the aisle, must see that little boy? There's a little Mexican boy over there that had a hole in his pants, and he's trying to cover up the hole with his hand so he wouldn't embarrass him. And Mrs. Maines, the lady who I'm sure is a millionaire, said to her husband, let me tell you what First Baptist Church is all about. She said, that little boy is just as welcome here as we are. That's true. That's true. We have a few folks here in our church I think could settle for $1 million. I think they could net worth be $1 million. Then we'll welcome the next bus kid gets off the bus. Or the next street person sets up there Sunday morning. Meekness is when you are... it is strength. Moses. Good night. Moses. Temper. Meekness is not being is bland and colorless. It is not even the same as humility. Meekness is when you don't think you're better than anybody or low, but lower than anybody. What is meekness? Abraham Lincoln at a formal dinner, when the fellow beside him was uneducated and poured his coffee in the saucer and started drinking out of the saucer. Abraham Lincoln saw the fellow was embarrassed, so the President of the United States poured his coffee in a saucer and he drank out of his saucer. That's meekness. What is meekness? It is Jesus teaching a group of rugged disciples in their own language. Omniscience, talking about a woman lost coin. Omniscience, talking about a man that sowed seed in the field. Omniscience, talking about a boy ran off. Omniscience, talking about a lost sheep. Using mundane illustrations, getting down to their level. Now please don't misunderstand me. I do not consider myself to be a meek person, but let me illustrate what I'm saying. I've come as near to it after I've conducted pastor school and taught pastors and a youth conference and conducted a youth conference and vacation Bible school next week. The same guy that taught the preachers how to build churches in March will make a fool of himself. No, he won't. He'll reveal that he was a fool, is a fool, up here on this platform next Monday through Friday. Now, you listen to me. I think I'll get on you Christian educators for a while. Did you know that the principal in your, you as a principal, you're no better than a fellow that sweeps out the building? And he's no better than you unless you think you're better than he. What is meekness? Lee Robertson conducting a commencement in his days at Tennessee Temple. And then at pastor school 2 years ago, got so happy, stood up over here on the pew, waved his Bible like that, and had a spell. That's meekness. What is meekness? It's a man standing up here at pastor school and quoting the entire book of Revelation. Then the next day going to his job cleaning the restrooms at City Baptist School. That's what meekness is. Hey, some of you hotshots, we got a custodian quote more Bible than you can. What is meekness? It's Irma McKinney, being fundamentalism's best known secretary, and yet being the best beginner worker, probably in America. What is meekness? It's Jack Scott. No, I got the wrong name here. It's Jack Scott, teaching theology at Howells Anderson College, and then being one of the best, if not the best, youth speaker in America. What is meekness? Is Bill McSpadden being a successful pastor and then being Bucky Tucker for the young people. What is meekness? Dr. Pete Cowling with his Ph.D. from Georgia Tech University. Gathering up a bunch of poor little ragamuffin bus kids on Sunday for years and bringing them to church. What is meekness? It's all three of the vice presidents at Howells Anderson College working on in the bus ministry. Jack Scott, Ray Young, Daryl Moore, all three of the vice presidents, Howells Anderson College, working in bus ministry. What is meekness? It's the always lady like Mrs. Hiles going to the rest homes every week to visit people in the rest homes. What is meekness? Meekness is when you get to the place to where you have... By the way, the higher you can go, all of us can go low. The higher you can go, the more meek you can be. For the more people to whom you can relate and whom you can reach, the meeker you are. So, if you've never had the opportunity for any formal training at all, or any kind of training at all, if you've never had that opportunity, then don't you fret about it. But if you went to school and goofed off all during school and cheated on somebody from somebody else's paper and your grade wasn't yours and you're a dumb bunny now and yet you got that diploma, then you can't be very meek. I said a while ago, Dr. Evans is probably the meekest man in this room. You know why? Because he probably has studied more than any man in this room. And yet he never has lost what he had when he started studying it. Dr. Evans and I are the two most famous historians in America. Thank you, Brother Blackwell. You know who you remind me of? I was preaching down in Charlotte Monday night, and Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. Dr. Bob Gray is preaching before me. There's a big old black fella, and he could have been white, but he's black. Big old fat black fella sitting about that far from me on the back row. And this is the way he did. Amen. Amen. I thought of Blackwell. Now, meekness is a condition of the heart. And I said, well, I go, Dr. Evans and I are both great historians. Now, our history knowledge is in different fields. He knows Henry VIII, all of his wives with their first name. One of them was Liz Taylor. And he knows all that. He knows King James and King Tut and Charlemagne and what she did. You better laugh. Now me, I know that Babe Ruth hit 60 home runs. Roger Maris hit 61. I know that 1941, Ted Williams hit 406. I know that he hit 521 home runs in his career. And I know the more important things about history. But I want to tell you something. Every opportunity that you have to become knowledgeable in any field can help you qualify for more meekness. I met at the airport. I'm preaching somewhere, and a fellow meets me at the airport. I quiz him all the way to the room. If he's in a secular field, I quiz him. I want to learn what he knows. I want to learn all I can about his profession. All I can. I was met one time by a chiropractor. And that chiropractor, I asked him question after question after question. I said, hey, do me a favor. Show me how to give an adjustment. He stopped the car. We went into a little room there off of a service station and the office area. And I laid down and he gave me an adjustment. And he said, try that. So I gave him one. And I learned how to give an adjustment fairly well. In fact, my office is opening next week. But I learned pretty well. Now, wait a minute. I can prove this. I was in the home of one of our graduates who was pastoring in New Jersey, Brother and Mrs. Ed Wober's son-in-law. I was having lunch in their home. Their boy, about 10 years old, began to choke to death. He was rolling on the floor and couldn't breathe. And we were all panicking. We thought he was dying. I said, let me do something. I rolled him over. I gave him an adjustment. He got up, finished his meal. Everything's all right. Now, somebody's not going to get me for practicing medicine without a license. I know that's true. But everything you can learn about everything that's right, you learn it. I read business in USA Today, the business section every day. I read as often as I can the magazine Nation's Business. This may shock you, but I read Better Homes and Gardens because I want to know how to be and talk about flowers a little bit. I mean, I know so much about flowers. I gave my wife a dandelion corsage last Sunday morning. But I want to know all I can. Why? Because I want to be able to reach everybody I can. Meekness is when you, in your heart, feel that you're better than no one and worse than no one, above no one and under no one. And you, in your heart, are capable of pushing the button and taking that elevator to whatever floor a person's on that you're trying to reach. That's what meekness is. That's why Moses was hot-headed, but he was still meek. Because Moses could reach everybody. The greatest man that ever lived, in my opinion, apart from the Savior. I'm not talking about the greatest Christian. Paul was a better Christian than Moses. I'm talking about the greatest man, the greatest leader who ever lived was Moses. And the Bible said he was the meekest man in the world, which means that he was able to look more people straight in the eye and feel no superiority over them or no inferiority toward them. He could do that more than anybody in the whole world. Now, you Christian educators, listen to me for a minute. Just because you got a piece of paper on your wall, and just because you read a few books and took a few tests and passed them, doesn't make you any better than anybody else. Our people know this story, one of my favorite stories, and I'll close. Joe Boyd. I love the guy. Joe Boyd's one of the four or five best Christians I ever met in my life. Genuine. Joe Boyd went to Texas A&M, Texas Agriculture and Military College, and took agriculture. He became an evangelist. He moved down to East Texas because I was pastor there as a young man. He and his wife bought a house in East Texas, and they joined our church. And Joe had a little acreage, and so he had raised some vegetables, have a little garden. Well, Joe went to Texas Agricultural College and was trained agriculturally. And sharp. We had a lady in our church named Mrs. Smoke, S-M-O-K-E. She didn't, but that was her name. Your name's not that, and you do. But Mrs. Smoke. Miss Smoke was what every Yankee thinks every Southerner's like. Help a Jack, how you be? One day, Miss Smoke also had a little land she rented, and she had a garden. And one day I was talking to Smoke and Brother Boyd with the church there. And so I said, Brother Boyd, how's your garden? He said, everything is good but the potatoes. He said, the potatoes are just not... I don't have a good crop of potatoes at all. Mrs. Smoke said, Brother Boyd, did you plant them by the moon? At a certain time in the moon, a certain way, she planted potatoes. And Brother Boyd said... Of course not. She said you'd have better taters if you planted them with the moon. Brother Boyd said, Mrs. Smoke, I'm a graduate of Texas Agricultural College. I've taken courses from the best farmers and experts in raising crops in the world. She said, how are you taters? He made fun of her. He said, don't you tell me. I spent 4 years in Texas Agricultural College. How you taters? He said, did you plant taters? Yeah, plant taters by the moon. He said, there's nothing scientific about that. No, but it makes good taters. The boy and I went down to her house and looked at some of her taters. I'd seen some of the boys. I said, Joe, those yours look like grapes. I'll never forget the night I just happened to stumble on him. I drove out to see him late one night. The moon was just right. And Dr. Joe Boyd was planting his taters by the moon. Mrs. Smoke, Ph.D., taught agriculturally, trained Joe Boyd. Somebody said the only difference in folks who have been to college and folks who haven't is that they're ignorant on different subjects. Some of you smart ladies that know Beowulf and Lady of the Lake, and you can quote Juan de la Pili with his short and salty in the Droth of Marches, Percy the Rothy and Bothered of a Vein in Speech Lacour. And you can quote solely a bit when thy summons come to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death. Go thou not as a quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one who wraps a drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. You can quote all that stuff. But I know some ladies that can't quote any of it to make better banana pudding than you do. That's what meekness is. No getting around it. The more you know, the more you can be meek, and the more tempted you are to be a snob. Now, you've got to decide whether you can learn more or not. If you can take it like Wendell Evans did, learn all you can. If you can't, keep planting the taters by the moon, make good banana pudding, and forget the rest of it. Shall we stand, please?